Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 247, recorded April 20th, 2015.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Well?
Well, I'm sick. Sorry. My reactions aren't what they should be.
That's okay. We have a shorter show for you today, which is okay, but we've got two people.
Yeah.
Carl in Florida and Daphne in Missouri.
Okay, so...
Are these both new contributors?
No, Carl's one of the ones who's been doing the citric acid.
Oh, CO2. Right. Sorry.
Daphne is a new contributor.
Okay. Well, cool. Okay, so Carl sent us a picture.
Yes.
Of his tank with the setup. I mean, with the CO2 setup, I'm assuming, yes?
Yeah, it looks like right. Back here is where the CO2 has been, put in. And he's got a picture that he sent a few weeks ago had algae all over the place. It was going kind of crazy. That's and he asked us some questions about it. We gave him some advice, and he said...
He said, pictures are worth 1,000 words, thank you. And he's got 3 autos, 4 nerite snails, 20 red cherry shrimp. He said his split time on lights was a huge help. I had not read that anywhere. And his picture, the tank in the picture, looks...
Totally different. Yeah. There's been great improvement in the algae, and you can really... see the scaping much better, so it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And we're glad that it has worked, that it had helped.
So we'll put the picture up.
Yeah, we'll post the
for
picture.
For all to see.
Maybe what we'll have to do is go back and get the before picture and the after picture and put them together on the same page.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And the split time, I think, I could be wrong, but I think I learned that from Diana Wallstedt. I know that
she... I think you did.
She definitely
talked about that.
The siesta period, and that's in her book and so on. That is really cool that it's working for you. I'm glad. And I noticed that we suggested that he put some more shrimp in there, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had 1 red cherry shrimp in it before, and he's put...
Just there are 20 in there now.
And it really is looking nice. And so... It's good to see.
Yeah.
And we look forward to more updates.
Alrighty, so we have Daphne in Missouri, who also sent us a picture.
Yeah. Yeah, Daphne in Missouri, she had purchased things from us. I think she purchased some Daphnia from us before. And then she was listening to the podcast and was interested in getting some Opaeula, because we had been talking about
Opaeula. Is that what's in this tank?
Yeah. And okay. She asked me if I had any to sell, and I said I can probably spare a few, but not a lot right now because I'm populating 2 tanks.
Right.
With them, and so I'm going to need a lot of them to do that. And so she ended up finding a guy who's got this breeder of Opaeula in Texas who's got 2 10-gallon tanks with hundreds and hundreds in them.
So he can sell them.
So, yeah, and so he's selling them. And I've sold them on occasion, but I didn't have enough right now because, to populate those tanks, I'm going to need a lot. Anyway, so she purchased 50 of them from this guy in Texas and set up an old Metaframe tank with them.
And Metaframes are... These are the ones with the metal around the edges of the tank?
Yeah, Metaframe is the brand name for those tanks. And I've had a few in the past. They're kind of fun. I like the classic look.
I think we had a few way back when we first got married, didn't we?
We did.
We don't have any now, but...
We don't have any now, but we did. We had, I think, that one with the goldfish in it. That 10-gallon was a Metaframe tank. And over the years, I've probably had 3 or 4 or 5 of them. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, there's still a number of them around, and they have a really classic look to them that I like. It's fun.
Kind of retro?
Yeah, a retro look. And
kind of like you're looking in a TV?
Kind of. And she's got this one set up really nicely for her Opayula. We're going to post the picture, and she's also sent a video.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh,
which is not here on the page because I can't embed a video in that document. But there, it's a video of the tank, and you can see the shrimp milling around in there and everything, and the nairites. And I like the way she's done the setup. Because she's got some coral rubble, looks like, and then some live rock on top of that. Or it might be just base rock. Probably base rock, actually, but
it almost looks like a
that kind of looks like a feather duster worm, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. We can ask about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she had a few things to say about that. She's got some Java fern growing in there, and Java fern is tricky with Opayula. It depends on your salinity. Sometimes it'll do okay at lower salinities, but at higher salinities, it usually doesn't do very well. But Opayula are so tolerant of different salinities. I've kept them at anything from half seawater strength to, let's see, seawater diluted to about 12% salinity of seawater. So, something like that. And they do find it, you know, quite a bit of different salinities. So she's got some comments about how many she's starting with and some other things.
Yep, she says, I'm starting with 50 from that guy in Texas. I may have to find a way to cut down the flow. It is a 5-gallon tank. I put a ZooMed 501 canister filter on there. Smallest filter I had around the house. Might make the holes in the spray bar bigger if they seem to be bothered by it.
And then later, and I think I accidentally forgot or made a mistake, didn't put that on, didn't add that part of the document.
It's not on my script.
She answered me. She answered something about that. I'm going to see if I can pull that up. Let me see if I can find it. But she did have some things to say about it somewhere. Where is it? Maybe it's here. Oh, yeah. Later, she says,
oh, the shrimp are a pretty good color. I don't think I'm going to mess with the filter output flow just yet.
Okay.
I got the thing that I always... What did you mean?
Oh, this is
at?
About the video.
Sorry.
So,
sorry, guys.
She sent the video. That's something she's asking about with the video. So she sent me some video clips that we're going to show, too. And it's cool because you can see the shrimp really doing their thing in the tank as they're getting used to it. But if the shrimp are a pretty good color, she doesn't necessarily need to mess with the output flow.
How does color relate to output flow?
Good question. Basically, shrimp that are stressed tend to wash out.
Okay.
Shrimp that have a nice color,
bright color
tend to be pretty comfortable.
Okay. So it's just like stress and health indicator.
Yeah. Now, the only thing that I'd worry about with the canister filter is, well, there's a couple of things, but one is salt creep. Could be an issue eventually because there's a filter.
When you say salt creep, and I picture like this dastardly villain when he folds his dark
salt
color
crystals
off and he's got like dried salt on it. It's salt creep.
The salt creep, okay.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Sorry.
No, but the salt is very, you know, in a tank like that, in a braggish tank, could be a concern. You get some salt creep going on when you have a filter. But another thing is that the babies could get sucked up by a filter, depending on what the intake is like on the canister filter. If she's got a big sponge over it, that's probably not going to be an issue. But like some open cell, you know, foam will help prevent babies from being sucked up. I've had filtration or at least aeration of some sort or another in various Opayula tanks, and I've had them without, and I just tend to go without.
They seem to do fine.
It's easier and they do fine. But, and that's not to say that there aren't people who do fine with it. You can do fine with it as well. So, I think it's kind of up to whoever wants to try it, as long as the babies are protected from the intake and the flow is not too high, then it can be okay. But I really liked in the video, and you can check it out on the page, that the shrimp are really active And you can see a whole bunch of them.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. And there you can see her nerite, and you can see the plants, and their shrimp are all, you know, dancing around on. It looks cool. In the setups that I'm doing right now, I have been slowly populating the tanks with Opaiola. One of the tanks has, I think the 10-gallon has about 15 or so Opaiola in it, and it looks like a ghost town right now, because there are only 15 in there.
But they'll catch up.
They'll catch up eventually as I add more to it. I'm just taking it slow, just to be careful with bioload and so on. The 5.5-gallon has, let me see, I think about 25 or 30 shrimp in it. And it's you can see them more. If you look in there at any given time, you might see a couple of them around. But it's still not, you don't see a whole lot. You really need quite a number of shrimp to start out if you're going to have a bigger tank. And so I'm just slowly kind of adding them, partly for the bioload issue, partly because catching them is a royal pain. I got to say, catching something like a red cherry shrimp is a lot easier than catching an Opaiola.
Because it's bigger?
Opaiola are tricky. They get spooked really easily. And they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tiny.
That's
so
true.
They can get out of little gaps in the net. Especially when you're trying to catch them out of a cylindrical tank.
There's no corners.
And you go up against the side. You know, you're not up against the side, really. There's always a gap they can get out of.
That's
so
true.
So capturing, you know, 20, 25 shrimp is quite a feat. And once you catch one or two or a few, you know, sometimes I'll be lucky and I'll catch four or five or six in the same net full.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you do that, all the other shrimp are immediately spooked. And they dart down into the lava and they stay there for a period of time.
And you can't get any more.
And then you have to come back later when they're not scared anymore and catch some more. And you keep on doing that. And it can take a long period of time, even though you're not doing it constantly. It can take a long period of time. The other alternative is to take the whole tank down. Take all the lava out, and then catch them when they don't have any place to hide. But
which
that's
is
a pain,
kind of a pain,
and it makes a mess, and so on. So I haven't done that in a while, but I have just been catching them a few at a time. And like earlier this week, I caught about 20, 25, but I did it over several hours. I just pop in, grab a few, and then come back half an hour later or 15 minutes later and catch a couple more. Just do that. So I never caught more than four or five at the same time. Just because they're so easily spooked.
Skittish.
And then, like I said, they hide under the lava and they can get through the net. You know, any slight gap you leave in the net, they can get through. So it's been funny. It's been slow and gradual, but it'll work. I am contemplating possibly getting a few more just because I have...
You want to get those tanks going faster?
I want to get the tanks going faster, and I've got quite a few of them. I would imagine that I have, you know, well over 150 at Opaiola altogether. But getting them out of those tanks is just a pain. Plus, I haven't introduced any new bloodlines to my Opaiola since 2005. And not that that's necessarily a big deal. I started out with about 40 shrimp, and then there was a little bit of a genetic bottleneck when we transported them. When we moved to the mainland, I lost a few. So there was something in the 30s, probably, of the amount of shrimp that actually ended up reproducing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my founding population, effectively, could be considered to be somewhere around 30 shrimp, 30, 35, I don't know, somewhere in there. Which, in a lot of invertebrates, it's not a big deal. It's a fairly stable base, but I would feel more comfortable just introducing a little bit more new blood. So I have thought about getting, you know, 50 or so, and then that would be, I think, a pretty good base to start with. I'd put maybe 25 of those in one of those tanks and 25 in the other, and then I'd have two tanks with new blood plus the blood that I already have, or the, you know, the population that I already have. So we'll see how it goes. I haven't decided for sure if I'm going to do that or if I'm just going to let my population build up. But anyway.
That makes sense.
I'm glad that Daphne is setting something up for Opaiola, and I hope to hear updates about it in the future. And I think they're really pretty fascinating and very easy to take care of, and so I'm glad that we were able to spark her interest in those, and glad she's participating in the podcast too.
So yes, welcome.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sick.
Ready to go to bed.
So I think we probably better conclude the podcast. No, but thank you to Carl in Florida and Daphne in Missouri for joining us, for contributing this evening. And until next week,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.